June 27, 1976. My name is Martin Peter Hansen. I was born June 30th, 1887, on the island of Fyn in Denmark. My father died when I was a year old and left my mother with two boys, me one and my brother two, and a house that wasn't paid for, and 2 miles from the nearest town. Times were hard, so we had to go to work at an early age. Me six and my brother seven, we were driving horses for threshing machines in the winter. It was 10-hour days for a dime a day in our crop. And when we were 9 and 10, we hired out on farms. We stayed there till we were through school at 1914. Then we went to sea in schooners. The first 2 years for me were uneventful. The third year I got into a schooner. The captain was called the Devil of Rummel, and he was just that. He never got tired of telling me how useless I was, not what money I was getting. We were discharging paving stones in Stettin in Germany, like when one got dropped over my foot and smashed it. So then, of course, I was more useless than ever. I told him if I was that useless, he could pay me off, and he did just that. He paid the cook off too. He was the same age as me. We had very little money coming. We had about 14 marks each. And to get out of Germany and get to Denmark, we had to wait 3 days for a steamer to take us to Copenhagen. So to get a close down to the steamer, that took 3 marks. And then we bought a ticket, that was 9. Then we had very little left. The first day we lived on buns and coffee and slept in a flop house. Then the money was almost gone. So the only way out was to watch behind the lumber piles and see when the six schooners went to dinner and go down and bum over grub and sleep in the sail lockers at night. So we got to Copenhagen and I went up to the sailor's home and asked if they could take me in. Yeah, if I could pay a week in advance, which I couldn't do. But I could write home for money. Well, they said, we'll take you in. So they took me in. That was on a Friday. On a Monday, a runner from a shipping master came around and asked if there was any ordinary seaman. I said, yes. I'd never been one, but I said yes anyway. So he told me to go and see so-and-so shipping master. So I went around there and got a job in a new steamer laying in Stettin. So I went back home. 2 hours after, the same owner came back and asked if I was still there. Yeah. He said the shipping master wanted to see me again. So I thought, now maybe I'm going to get fired out of that job. So I went back there. Instead of that, there was a captain sitting there in a uniform. And he asked me, he was looking for a sailor in a racing yacht, if I would take that instead. Oh, sure would I. I was only too happy to get it. So I was in there a while, and then I got some revenge over the skipper that fired me in Stettin. We were tied up in Aalborg at the dock, and they were laying at anchor out in the stream. And I saw the mate on deck, and I hollered at him, "Hey there, Jensen." He looked in the glasses and recognized me. And he waved back and said, "Hey there," and gave me a hearty welcome and told the captain. Of course, the captain wouldn't believe I had a job like that. Then I saw him coming from ashore. He was going out to his schooner. And the step for to go down was just behind our stern. So I went up on the stern and I said, "Hey there, Captain." He looked up and said, "Oh, it's right enough." "Yeah," I said, "it is right enough. And now I'm getting $45 a month." I said, "You only gave me $35 and I've never been told yet it wasn't worth it." So I was in that, and then I got away in a steamer. And then in the spring, I went to Hamburg to try to get into sail in deep water ships. But times were hard, and I couldn't get. The only thing I could get was an old Swedish barkentine. I was in here a year. There I had 3 narrow escapes. In the fall, we were coming from Sweden. We were taking a cargo of lumber to Spain. Then we were going to drift on the shoals outside the Thames. And the only way to keep from drifting on is to crowd all the sails on we can carry. So we did that, and the smaller sails did move away right now. But five of the biggest ones held, and there was a good ship to sail, or we wouldn't have made it. So we got off, and we got to Spain. There one got put ashore of a dysentery. Then we went from there to Carabella, Florida, to low pine for Germany. On the way home, off the island of Bermuda, we ran into a hurricane. For 24 hours we were laying with not a skid of canvas on, but we weathered it. But there was another bark just behind us, the same company. He went down in it, but they got saved. Well, we got to Lübeck, Germany, and I got paid off. The captain wanted me back again. I said I would go, but I had no intention of doing so, and I'm glad I didn't, because that same winter they was lost in Kattegat and drowned every one of them. Then I was in steamer for about a year or so. Then I went to Hamburg again. There I had better luck. I got a steamer on into the East Indies. I was in there a couple of years. Then I paid off in Hamburg. I went home to serve my time in the Danish Navy. I wanted that out of it in case I should come home later on, and I was glad I did. So I went back to England and bought the books I needed for to get an officer's license. And there I had not an narrow escape. 2 hours we were down the dock looking for a ship, and I saw one looking, signing on men, and I said, there's one signing on men, let's go over there and get a job. That was a new steamer, belonged to Aberdeen Blue Star, the name was Water. But my partner said, no, we will lose our dinner, let's go home and eat. So we did that. Good thing we did. That first trip on a maiden voyage, they was lost between Cape Town and Australia. They never found a trace of her. That was another escape. Well, I was an English steamer then for a couple of years and got my mate's license. And I was up on this coast. I applied for English citizenship papers. And they were ready for me, but I wasn't there. I was on the American coast. So when I came back home, the war had been going on for 4 weeks. So they wouldn't let me have them till the war was over. So consequently, I was a foreigner. And they put so many restrictions on me, so at last I couldn't stick it. It got so bad, they wouldn't even let me go down on the dock, coal dock, where there was nothing. So I said, no, you can have your war, and I went away. I went to Denmark. And fishing was good, so I bought a fishing boat. And it was good to begin with, but didn't last long. England was going to starve Germany out, so they stopped the fuel oil, so we couldn't send no fish to Germany. So when the war was over, depression hit, and I lost everything I had. Took me 7 years to get enough, and then I went to England and got into an English ship. And I had an old sweetheart I had left behind in 1916. So I went to see her to see if she was still single. She was. So we made up, and I made the trip in an English ship, came back, and we got married. And then I said, there's going to be another war. I said, we're going to get out of England. So I got a job in a tomato nursery till our papers were ready to leave. And I've been up here on the Pacific coast in a ship. And I liked the look of the land. So I said, that's where we're going. So we came over here to Olympia. And after a year or so, I bought a 10-acre farm. That was 1928. But I didn't have it long, then depression hit, and we still owed $2,200 on it. And I was out of work right there. But my wife got work in a hotel, getting $45 a month, so we could still pay the interest. So we didn't lose the farm. I was there for 40 years, till I got too old to take care of it. Then I sold out and moved to town. And 6 years ago, my wife died, so I'm on my own now. But I'm happy and contented. I got a neat little house with flowers and a little garden and plenty of hobbies. Got a lot of good friends who will all help me if I need help. So I certainly can't complain. I'm really lucky. Thank you. My hobbies consist of painting, wood carving, macrame, and music. So I'll put on the three Scandinavian national anthems, the Swedish first.
Thank you.
when I was a youngster, there was no money for musical instruments. People only learning to play them. It was all work and no play. So what little I know, I had to pick up by ear the best way I could.
Now, Mr. Hansen, Ed Sundberg and I, and I'm Mrs. Sundberg, and I are visiting you here this morning, and it is on May 28th, and we are in the Olympia area, and we have just enjoyed a most wonderful tape. But I'd like to ask you a few more questions.
Go ahead.
Do you remember your mother's name?
Yes.
And what was her name?
Charlotte Hansen.
And do you remember her maiden name?
Charlotte Severine Hansen.
And what was your father's name?
Christian Hansen.
And do you have any record? I know that your father died very early, but did you ever know any of your grandparents?
I did know them, but it's so many years ago. I lost track of them when I was about 10 years old.
So you don't really have any recollection?
I have no relations, no.
No.
It's far out and all forgotten.
Yes. Yeah. Now, would you again tell us the place in Denmark where you were born?
Yeah. Kauslunde Sound, Funen, close to Middelfort.
Yes. Now, that's the same island as Hans Christian Andersen was born on, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And did you ever go into Odense as a young boy? That must have been the big city at that time.
It was. The school had a trip, gave us a trip to Odense. Then I've been there in the schooner later on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that was the big city at the time.
Right, yeah.
Now, the little town where you were born, do you remember the house that you lived in?
Yes.
Can you describe it for us?
Well, it was an old house with a thatched roof, and the walls were made of raw clay bricks, so they had reeds to keep the rain off to wash the stop the walls from washing down, and there was no pump in the well. We put that in, and we renewed the bad walls, so we didn't do so bad, even if we were poor. But we were there till we had finished school. Then we moved to Jutland. My mother inherited the house there from her sister. She died of cancer. So we moved to Jutland then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you mentioned going to school. Would you tell us when you started school and a little bit about going to school in Denmark?
Yeah. I started at 7, and then we went every second day, so that we could work on the farm one day and go to school the other day. So most of the farmers had two boys, one going to school one day and one the other day. So that went on to 14, then we were through school, then we were on our own, no more help from home.
Now, can you tell me some of the subjects you had in school? What were some of the things you studied in school?
Well, it was Danish history and world history, and we had religion too. Yeah.
Were you confirmed?
And arithmetic, of course.
Oh, yeah, arithmetic. Yeah. Were you confirmed in Denmark?
Yes, yeah.
In the Lutheran Church?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any recollections of the studies that you did in order to be confirmed?
No, I haven't, no.
It was just a regular...
Because we didn't take it serious.
You didn't take it serious.
No, we had to go to the preacher, you know,
yes,
to get prepared, but we didn't take that serious, so I don't remember it. No.
Did you go to the preacher's home or to the church?
No, the preacher's home. There wasn't too many of us, no.
Uh-huh.
No.
Then you said you didn't take it very seriously, but have you later in life found a church home? Do you belong to any church now, Mr.
No, I don't. No. I live on earth, not in the clouds.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of your... Was it a younger brother you had?
It was 1 year older.
Oh, 1 year older. Do you have his name?
That was Søren Hansen.
Søren Hansen.
Yeah.
Did he also go to sea, did you say?
Yeah, he was captain in United Fruit Company for a number of years. And his wife died, And he had a niece in England. She came over to get what he had, and she made the two. She came, she saw, she conquered.
Oh.
And she had some relations in New Zealand, so she got him off to New Zealand. And we never got a penny of what he had. And he had lots of money.
Yeah.
She came to get it, and she got it. Yeah.
And so he eventually died in New Zealand?
Yeah. That's 12 years ago or more. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any children, Mr. Hansen?
No, only an adopted boy, but he's a good boy. Yeah.
And does he live in this area?
He's in Seattle.
In Seattle, yeah. So that you do he, have...
He's manager in an Albertson store.
Oh, that's fine, and that's good company for you.
Right, yeah.
Now, do you belong to any Scandinavian organizations?
The Order of Vasa, that's all. Yeah.
Now, here you are, a Dane. How did you get mixed up with the Swedes?
Because the country consists mostly of Swedes, so you couldn't avoid them.
You couldn't avoid them.
No.
But you do enjoy that association.
Absolutely. I've been there for 30 years.
And you have found some good friends there.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Okay. Oh, they're tops, yeah. So even if they're Swedes.
Even if they are Swedes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you take any Scandinavian magazines or newspapers?
No.
Do you have any contact with Denmark today?
I wrote about 5 months ago, you know, to the newspaper just for the fun of it, to see if I would get an answer, and I did. And a couple of people wrote to me, and I answered them back. That's all.
You have no family that you know of in Denmark, then?
No, I tell you, I got out just ahead of the police. I didn't want to contact them anymore.
Now,
but it's forgotten now.
Are you joshing us about the police, or was that really a situation that you were trying to avoid?
Well, there was some money I had to pay. I didn't want to pay, so I skinned out.
Now, when you came to the United States and settled on this little farm, did you become a citizen of the United States then?
Right away. I applied for citizenship the first week I was here, both of us. Yeah.
And what did you go to any kind of school or anything?
Oh, yes, we went to school. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I couldn't go right away because the press in Hitton, it cost money, you see, to get your papers. And we didn't have it because we had a hard time just getting something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned, you know, mostly politics, you know, how to vote. That was the most biggest part of it. But we passed easily. And I was first, you know, and of course I was soon made a citizen. Then my wife came up on, and he asked, "Are your husband a citizen?" "Yes." So that was about all she was asked.
And that was okay then, and you both became?
We both citizens, yeah.
When you bought the little farm, was there a house on the farm?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Can you describe that house?
Yeah. It looked fairly neat, but it was awfully poorly built. It was built for to sell. It had no foundation, and all the rest of the buildings were the same way. But I didn't pay too much for it. And some of the land was surface clear, just the top burned off the stumps, and the roots were left in. So I had quite a job getting them out, and I cleared a lot of land. Oh, yes.
Would you say something for us so that whoever listens in the future can hear how your Danish sounded? Do you know a little piece of poetry you could recite for us, maybe? Or?
Recite a song, Barton.
Yeah.
Huh?
Do you remember Kong Christian?
Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you recite it for us so we can hear your...
Wait a minute. Kong Christian stod ved højen mast i røverdam. I spørgehammer det så fast, at båd og hjelm og hjørnebræst. Das heute Holz, was bei Stormen war, nur der Zieh, schreibt wer zum Flüchten kann, wo Storfer dann mal Christian im Kampf.
Mange Tag. In the future, someone may be interested in your Danish accent.
Oh, that's
and
true,
that's
yeah.
why we wanted the words.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how did you learn to speak English?
Well, in English ships. I got an English ship known.
And there, was there any difficulty in learning the English?
No, no. I always learned everything fast, as you will know by now.
Yes, uh-huh. So yeah. there was no problems ever because you couldn't speak English?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay, that's just yeah. fine. Yeah, now when you came into the United States and decided to settle here, were there any particular experiences that stand out in your mind in deciding on what farm you wanted or, you know, just exactly what you were going to do here? Can you?
Well, in a way there was, because I wanted a farm, because I knew someday there would be a great help to us as it was. And it was, because now there was a lot of timber on the farm. So heating and cooking cost us nothing. And I raised my own garden, and I got a cow, and I got some chickens and a pig. So we made practically made a living. Otherwise, we couldn't have made it during that depression. And then I wanted a farm too, because I knew someday I would get too old to hold a steady job. Then I would have the farm to fall back on. And I'm glad I had it, because now I'm sitting fairly pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And without the farm, I couldn't have been here. No.
Yeah. Now, you said you had chickens and cows. Did you raise any grain, or was it just strictly vegetable and that kind
no,
of
thing? No, I raised my own hay.
You raised your own hay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Now, your wife, when she was on this little farm, how much did she do of her own baking and cooking and so on? Did she?
Not too much. I did all of it.
You did all of it.
Because, you see, after I got them mastoid operations, I ruined my stomach and I couldn't hold a steady job, so I was handyman, and I was handy too.
Yeah.
So I did all the cooking and dishwashing and house cleaning and gardening and everything, and she couldn't drive, so I had to take her to work and get her home again.
Uh-huh. Now this is then while she was working and you were taking care of the farm.
Right, yeah.
You said you had a mastoid operation. Do you remember the approximate year that you had that? Just the approximate.
1941.
Do you remember the first time you started to have problem with your ears?
No, it came, I had the flu, and then it started right there in my ears. Yeah.
And it went on too so that you had?
Yeah, first the lance to ear, that didn't do no good. Then they took me in the hospital, and they operated behind the ear. That didn't do no good. I was home about 8 days. I had to go back again. Then this whole head, side of the head was affected. And they cut and drilled a hole in the bone under my right eye, and that didn't help any either. So then they had to operate, and they had the brain exposed in two places, and it nearly didn't need it. Yeah.
But you do hear fairly well, though.
I do feel, yeah, I do.
That you have had all this problem.
Yeah, with some people I got a hard time understanding them, and with some I got no trouble. Yeah.
Do you remember being sick as a little boy?
I had pneumonia when I was about 14 or 13, rather 13, yeah.
What do you remember of that time being sick? What was done for you and so on?
Well, in them days there wasn't much done. You just had to go to bed till you got up, but it didn't last long with me. But I had a strong constitution and was strong in myself too. I was noted for my strength even if I was a youngster. Yeah.
When you were sailing, what kind of medicines did you see the other sailors get when they were hurt or sick?
Well, that very seldom happened, and that was mostly castor oil.
Mostly castor oil.
Yeah.
Do you remember any other home remedies being used when you were young? maybe not for you, but for other people?
Well, everybody had their own remedy, so it's hard to just remember what it would be, But now I use a lot of baking soda, and that's good for everything.
Well, that's true. Now, you have such a good memory. Do you remember any of the sayings from when you lived in Denmark? Do you know what I mean by a saying?
Well, no, I can't say I do. No.
That doesn't make any recollection. Nowadays, do you do anything in your home that, say at Christmas time, do you do anything that sort of is like in Denmark, or have you gone strictly to American customs?
It's all American now.
It's all American now. And when you get together with your adopted son, then you celebrate American holidays.
Right,
Did your adopted son ever speak Danish?
No, he's English. That was the son of my wife's sister.
Oh.
Yeah, so he came over here when he was 13.
Now, did you ever take any part in politics, Mr. Hansen?
Yes, I used to vote, you see, up to lately. Then I got fed up with it.
You got fed up?
Didn't look so good anymore.
Did you yourself ever run for any kind of an office, even for like school board or city council?
I tell you, one time somebody voted me in for a Democratic councillor. But I tell you how that came about. Now, we had a neighbor out there, an oyster man. And he was anti-labor, you know, as far as he could go. And then on the ballot, they had a socialist ticket. And his name was Charlie Brenner. And I wrote his name down for governor on socialist ticket. And I told one of them, you see, that was on the voting board.
Yeah.
And they voted me in as councillor in the Democratic Party.
Well, did you ever serve them?
Nah.
Well, now you spoke of this man as being anti-labor. Did you yourself ever join a union?
Oh, yes. Oh, I was always a union man.
Now, can you tell me anything, any experience or anything from the time when you were interested in the union?
No.
You just joined and belonged?
Yeah, I just joined and paid my dues, and that was it,
Now let's see here what else I have that we should... Oh, after you became an adult person and after you had finished sailing and so on, did you ever go back to Denmark?
No.
And so that you never did go back as an American citizen?
No, I didn't, no. Okay. Had no desire to go. There was no one for me to see.
Now, you have a lot of hobbies around your... A house here, and you have been so nice to show us all of the different things that you do. Mm-hmm. And now the music, you said you started when you were about 20?
20, yeah. But then I put it away for about 40 or 50 years and never touched it. It was Cliff's brother and his wife took me down to the center and got me introduced. And they told him, you know, I could play mandolin, so I had to go down and play.
Now, the center, what... center is?
Senior center. Senior citizen center.
Senior citizen center.
Yeah.
When you first played when you were 20, do you remember what caused you to be interested in the music?
Well, I always was a music lover, that's all. Yeah.
Did you have an instrument at that time?
I bought the mandolin.
At that time too?
Yeah.
And taught yourself then to play?
Yeah.
Now the wood carving, the macrame, and the painting, that has come in later years.
Yeah, not last I was 80, but I was always handy, so it was easy for me to learn. Yeah.
Would you again tell us on the tape how old you are today?
One month to go to 89.
1 month to go to 89, that's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
And you keep house here all by yourself?
By myself, yeah.
And you have a neat little home here, and what about shopping and so on? You find any difficulty in...
None whatsoever. Cliff Yelton texts me every month, you know, to stock up. And then I walk about half a mile to a little store because I need to exercise and buy what extras I need.
Mm-hmm.
So I manage fine.
You manage just fine. You do your own laundry and mending and...
And ironing and...
Well, that's just wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to your youth for just a second.
Yeah.
What was it that made you want to be a sailor? Was there a call of the sea?
Well, there was some there that was going to sea, and I heard the story, so I thought, well, that would be a good adventure. So I decided to go too. Yeah. But it wasn't so funny as I thought it was.
Do you have any experiences during the World War I years on the sea?
Well, in a way, yes, because I was in English ships, you know, for 2 years after the war broke out. And in the second year, we had no protection for U-boats or anything. We just had to take a chance. But I was lucky we escaped. But the last trip I was hit, we hit a mine, and that must have been an English mine because it didn't explode. If it had been a German, that would have exploded because they were different make entirely. And then when we got to, we were going to a place called Sunderland, and that night the Zeppelins were up and dropped 3 bombs there and then went to another town and dropped some more. But that was my last trip that I left and went to Denmark. But it was such a short-sighted policy of them. They were driving the men out of the English ships, and they couldn't hardly do without me, especially navigators. It was such a short, so I thought I'd better get out a while I can, because before long they would stop me from leaving. And that happened, they did stop them from leaving, so I got out just in time.
Now, when you went from England to Denmark, how did you sail across, or how did you get
sailed across. Oh, yeah.
There was a contact?
That was in Danish mail steamers. There was the one of them sunk. They were never molested.
Oh.
No.
And you had no trouble getting, as far as that's concerned?
No. They want to know why I left. As I said, I can't stomach them restrictions you put on me, so I'm getting out.
You spoke of being a navigator. That's an officer on a ship, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about that officer school that you attended?
Yeah, that was in Leeton, Scotland. And as I told you here on the tape, I bought the books so I could study at sea.
Mm-hmm.
So it only took me 6 weeks to pass the examination. But they were strict on me because I was a foreigner, you see, so they really put me through the mill. But they couldn't catch me at anything. I could answer all the questions correctly. And a couple of times the examiner was wrong and he had to admit it too.
So it actually only took you 6 weeks to get that officer's license?
Yeah, well, that was the second mate.
Uh-huh.
And then you had to be in charge of a watch for a year. Then you could go up to first mate. And I got that too. And when I left England, stayed with him 6 months, I could have gone up for captain. But I could see it had no future, and I didn't like the condition, so I got out and came to America, and I'm sure glad I did.
Mm. Well, that's a good thing to hear.
Yeah.
What does being Danish mean to you here in the United States?
Well, in a way, you know, we are not ashamed of it. We haven't got much to be proud of. In one way, we have something, you know, because the only thing we've got to be proud of is there's something rotten in Denmark, and that's me.
Not anymore.
No.
But then you feel good about the fact that you were raised in Denmark and have that as a background.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
But you are glad you came to this country.
Absolutely, yeah. Denmark or the Scandinavian or the European countries, they had no future there. They were overcrowded. Yeah.
And you like the open spaces?
Right. Yeah.
Now, when you stand out on your porch, you can look down on the water here at Olympia. Is that a satisfaction to you?
It is, yeah. I never want to be too far away from the water. That's why I went right up to this coast, yeah.
So, do you ever go down to the harbor and look around and wonder at the ships that sail today?
Oh, yes.
Does it kind of do something for you and make you want to pack up your bags and go?
No, not anymore. But sometimes I would like to go in a sailing ship, you know, and get down in the trade winds, you know, because that was really, that was really wonderful. There was nothing like sail, no.
Nothing like sail.
No.
There's a romance there.
There is, yeah, yeah. And if we had the wind, you know, and a good ship, you know, we could beat the steamers hollow. We could see them in the morning, and in the afternoon they were left so far behind we couldn't see them. You know.
Is there anything else that you can think about that you might like to put on this tape, Mr. Hansen? Just something that you think you might have forgotten to ask you about?
No, I can't see there is, no.
Well then,
because a lot of tapes is better left unsafe.
Yes, but you don't
see them fingers.
Oh, you don't even want to talk about your fingers? No? Oh, okay. Okay.
No. You almost talk about the sailing vessel as being a human being with personality.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way you felt about the
sailing? It really is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. You talk to them, you know, just like they had sense and knew what they were doing. Yeah. Yeah. That's in sail, of course. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Did you feel that the different ships had different personalities?
No.
They were all more or less.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't one that was cranky and another one that was sprightly, maybe?
Well, a lady asked me why we called a sailing ship for sea. I asked her, did you ever try to steer one?
So they're not that easy to steer.
All depends on the wind. If you're against the wind, they can almost steer themselves. If it's behind them, it's awful hard.
It is awful
hard. In fact, if it blows too hard with a fair wind, you can't keep on running. You've got to have to turn around and go against it because you can't steer them. And it's dangerous because you can dismast them. If the boat's too, as we call it, you can't steer them, and they get the wind from the other side, you can dismast them. So you don't dare run too far or too long. No.
Can you describe, say, like the quarters where you slept on the ship, in a sailing ship?
Oh, yeah. Well, they were fairly comfortable. And the harder it blew, the better we slept. Me,
exactly.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yes. You slept in a hammock, or did you sleep in a bunk, or?
Oh yeah, it's all bunks. Yeah,
all
yeah.
Bunks.
Oh yeah.
And what kind of washing and bathing and toilet facilities did you have on a ship like that? Did you have any? What did you do? To wash up or go to the bathroom?
Oh yeah. Well, we had our toilets, of course, and our washing and so that we mostly have to leave that till it rained because we couldn't use too much fresh water. You know.
Now the toilet did it just dump into the ocean then?
Oh yeah, that was built in, so that it just went overboard.
And so that just went overboard.
Yeah.
Now what about cooking? What kind of meals did you get on the ship?
It was pretty poor, especially in English ships.
Yes.
And sometimes it was abominable, in fact, yeah.
What about this to talk about an Englishman's grog? Did you get something every day, or was
No. That's in the Navy.
Oh, that's
in the Navy. Yeah.
Now, I really think we have pumped you pretty hard. I hope we haven't tired you out.
No, I don't tire easy, especially when I talk to a nice lady.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hansen. Well,
yeah.
We do
and
appreciate
thank you because she's my wife.
Yeah.